Christmas Day, we're going to sing a carol, 311, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare the roof, and heaven can later see. Tom's going to play unto us. Here You know all about us. We pray that you will bless us. Those who are have needs, we pray that you would answer their needs, and we think of some who may not be well, of our members and our friends. Lord, we ask you to bless them and be a real saviour and friends of them. So bless us now as we sing these carols and hear your word, for your name's sake. Amen. Amen. Got a reading. In fact, I got a reading from several places in the scripture, so partly by the reason I haven't handed out the Bible, because I'm just going to read these selected scriptures all concerned with Christmas. The first from Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And another short reading from Numbers. The utterance of him who hears the word of God, and this is what he says. And that he has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty. Here's the vision. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. And in Daniel we read this. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. Near the end of the Old Testament, we read in Micah, but you, Bethlehem, the prophet, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel. And in Matthew, we have a more familiar Christmas story. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem lived with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, that you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rivers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search carefully for the young child. When you found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, that they departed, behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Just one more verse that will be the subject of our little talk in a minute. For Jeremiah, as hosts of heaven, that's the stars, as the stars cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so I will multiply the descendants of David, my servant. Well, that's a series of readings that remind us of the Christmas story and what led up to it. Going to sing another carol now, 211. A little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee run. Around the world in different places, and there we had to present the research work that we were doing at Airbus, and hear what other people were doing in the hope that we could put them all together and all learn something. And of course, my company wanted to be represented at these special international meetings. One day, I was at one of these meetings. Jackie was with me that time, one of the few times she came with me, and we were invited, a group of people, to visit the Keck telescope, which is up on top of an extinct, or at least a dormant, volcano. And it was 14,000 feet, so it's pretty high, and of course, not so easy to breathe up there. And this telescope was on top of Mount Keir. And in fact, there's two telescopes. They could either work together, they're identical, or they could work independently. And these twin telescopes looked at the stars. And some of the time they looked at what they could see with optical light, like we see, and they could switch and look at infrared signals, the heat that was coming from the stars. And these two telescopes were in great big suits. And I've got a picture of them, which I hope will stick up on there, just to give you some idea. And it was very exciting, of course, to be looking at these telescopes. There they are. There they are. They look like golf balls there. And in fact, they're as high as an 8-story house. So two of them, and that's the Milky Way behind them. And that's what they concentrated on, was the Milky Way and our galaxy and exogalaxies, other galaxies where they had a different sun. And there's the, on a clear night, like that. In the old days, you could actually count the number of stars. And they reckon, and that's exceptionally clear night there, but down where we are, at sea level, you can count about 3,000 stars. And if you go to the other hemisphere, Australia, New Zealand, somewhere like that, you can count a different 3,000 stars. And yet we read in Jeremiah, the stars cannot be numbered, just like the sand on the seashore can't be numbered. There's something wrong here. Let's work it out why that is true. As time went on, the man called Hipparchus, he was 150 years before Jesus, B.C., and he counted 800-something stars. I've got it down here. 850 stars he could count by really looking hard. 300 years later, Ptolemy found that there were 150 more. He found 1,025. And as the years went on, people developed telescopes. The numbers increased that they could see. We have people like Copernic and Galileo. He found 30,000 with his very elementary telescope. And Herschel did in Bath and in Slough in England with his sister. They found thousands and thousands of stars, and they used a catalogue. Now today, what's happened? Well, we've got a space telescope, we've got a Keck telescope, all sorts of aids. And I've written down the number of stars somebody has calculated. If it will fit up there, that's the number of stars they think now are up in the heaven. 200,000 million, million, million. And You'll find that in the literature, but if you come next year, you'll find that number's gone out. And as you read the wet pages on stars, somebody says, yeah, that's the number. And then underneath you say, hang on a minute, I could find three times that many with an extra powerful telescope that I've got. So that's the lesson. Apparently, if you took a second to read each one, it would take many, many lifetimes to read. What's the point of me saying this? Well, there is a point, because although that may be the number, whatever it is, when Jesus was born, there was an extra one. Okay? Whatever that number is, when Jesus was born, in year zero, back then, maybe a bit before, another star. And the star had a message. And this morning we want to look, see what that message was. And, of course, these men from the East, we call them wise men. The actual, if you read the Bible in the original language, they were called Magi. And if you understand languages, you know, Magi, same word we get from for magic and magicians, and they were astronomers, but also astrologers, which is very hard to understand these days. But of course, that's a long, long time ago. And these wise men, these men came from the East because they see this phenomenon of extra stars. And they read those verses that we read in our reading about something going to happen in Israel. How God was going to send a ruler. They thought he was going to be a king, like an earthly king, but in fact, he was a ruler. And where is he who has been born king of the Jews? And not on the palace door, king of, well, maybe the king didn't know. Somebody opened it and showed him in, okay, live forever like they do. Where is he? Where is he? Who are you talking about? The one that was prophesied. We want to see him. We want to come and worship him. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. How did you know about this? Well, in the east, going east from Israel, you get to places like Babylon, Mesopotamia, and a lot of Jews have been exported to those countries by being captured and taken away. And they had to work as servants for the Babylonians and others. And they took with them their scriptures, including the ones that we read about, that said, one day there'll be somebody just like a star coming to this world that will bring light and truth to this world. And they figured out, whatever can this be? And for hundreds of years, people were saying, is it that? Is it? Then this star appeared. This must be it. Let's get over to Jerusalem. Where is he? Well, he's not here. He must be. He's a king. Surely he's going to be born in the palace. And so the king was very worried about this. He's got all his wise men. They suddenly became wise. They should have known before. And he said, where is this new ruler going to be born? And they said, okay, live forever. Like they do. Bethlehem. How do you know that? Well, if you read your Old Testament, how clearly it is stated that in Bethlehem, hang on, there's two Bethlehems. How do you know which one? It's Bethlehem Ephrathah. Bethlehem in Judah, which is just south of Jerusalem. That's where he's going to be born, the prophet says to Micah, though you're little amongst the thousands of the towns of Judah, yet you shall come forth to me, the one to be ruler in Israel, the Messiah. Okay, you better get off down there. And when you find him, let me know, I'll come and saw him. I'll come and worship him too. But we know that he had rather bad thoughts in mind. And in fact, he had all the children under the age of two slaughtered to try and eliminate this new king that would put him out of a job, I suppose. And they wept. The star indicated to them where they would find the Lord Jesus. Interesting, despite all our carols, it says they came to the house. So we must conclude that this time was a little while after the birth of Christ, and they moved from the stable into a house, which is quite a nice thought. And they found him and they worshipped him. The only thing they could do, we have come to worship. He's going to be the one, the Messiah, the one would be the Savior of the world. And they gave him those gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We read in Numbers that a prophecy, and that's foretelling the future, I see him. But not now, I behold him, but not near. So sometime in the future, a star shall come out of Jacob. And that's what these wise men have been reading. In the old manuscripts, which of course were scrolls, a star will come. And that's when the star came and revealed the fact that Christ had been born. Now this is quite unusual, isn't it? A star. An extra star. On top of all those, one extra special star. I ain't going to say it, I've never even said it, but surely this breaks the laws of physics. You can't suddenly have one extra star just like that. A miracle. Which it was. Yet the Bible says that's what happened. Strangely, but in God's providence, God never explains how he did it. It just happened. And if you're a theologian, you will know that the Bible comes as a propositional book. Suppose this is what happens. So, what we have to conclude as Christians, because I can remember giving talks to my youngest people at Airbus and telling them, trying to instruct them how to do their job a bit better. I will give a prize to anybody in the class who can do an experiment that breaks the laws of physics. And I offer some enormous sum of money, knowing quite well you can't do it. You can't. So how did these miracles occur? Well, the Bible clearly says that they did. And people like Luke, who was a doctor of his day, said I need to look carefully and thoroughly into all these things, and they're true. And he reported all those things in his gospel. And somehow, we don't know how God did it, but he was above the laws of nature that he actually designed and brought into being. And so this is how that occurred. But the star, it's got a message. It had a message for the Magi. It's got a message for us. Daniel said it would be one like the Son of Man coming in the clouds. A message of the star. And it's the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, will be born. He is the Messiah. This is the gospel This is the good news to the world. That's why it's joy to the world. The Lord is come. And Luke 2 and verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And as you look around that old world 2,000 odd years ago, this world is pretty, there's some nice people, but basically people are evil. We see Herod there, killing all the children just to get his own way. And people were sinful in their hearts, and it's the same today. That's why they needed saving. Jesus came, born in the stable, in order that one day he would die on the cross. In the later of the New Testament, in the book of Acts, the jail in Philippi was in trouble. But Paul and Silas were in their jail. And you let a prisoner out by accident, or they escaped, you know what happened. Your neck got a bit longer. They said, "What should we do? Can I be saved from this awful position I'm in?" And he cried out to Paul and Silas, who were still in the prison, "What shall I do to be saved?" And they said, "Well, you know, this man's real problem is not that he's in trouble with the authorities, he's in trouble with God, like all of us, because we've sinned and gone against his law, and broken his law." And what was their answer? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." And it's the same for us. We need to believe on the Lord Jesus and receive him as our Saviour to be saved from our sins. Well, we're going to sing our closing hymn, 196. "Angels from the mount of glory, wing your flight for all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim the Messiah's birth." 196.